Hey, Rick.
Good morning and happy New Year, Rob.
Yeah, same to you. Good morning and happy New Year to you.
Well, we're going to have some special guests today.
Oh, wow. Good.
Well, no. So Emily's going to join us in a second, but also Margaret is also going to sit in on our calls now.
Oh, great.
Because Margaret is central to everything that we do. She's the glue that holds everything together.
Good morning.
Good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Good.
And she's excited now to be part of it. I mean, she always gets the others, but now she's included in the call.
Well, we should have been doing this all along.
Good, James. What's up, Emily? Happy New Year.
Hi, Emily. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you.
So it's been, it's been a crazy, last month or so, Rob. You know, obviously Marcus, but this is the time that, one of the good things that we do is, we're meeting, we're doing our calls with every client and we're meeting this stuff head on, which is perfect. But anyway, that's short-term noise, though. We got to keep our focus on the bigger stuff.
And I think that's where, your organization, in terms of your structure, forces you to do that. And that's the part that's so great about Supernova, is that you got to call everybody every month, and then and when you are as dedicated to your marketing effort as you are, you've got to keep planning. You can't stop planning because markets are lousy.
Right.
You gotta keep working on this stuff, or all of a sudden it's gonna be due date and you're not gonna be ready. So, a lot of the stuff, Supernova helps you stay on track. So anyway, I put in a plug.
Well, it does. I mean, there's just no question about it, and it really does. And that's where Margaret is so good, because she sets everything up. I mean, we know the roles now, and it's just a matter of, the same thing. It's a new year, Rob, and like fine-tune stuff again. Things slide a little bit and all that kind of stuff, so it's tightening it up and getting going again and focusing on the new year. But still, like, you're right. We do marketing. We do planning, but you've got to tighten that up, too, as far as the follow-up after we get that. We have a, potential success story, though, from the follow-up from the tennis event we did in the in June. So, Dave, why don't you fill Rob in how we followed up with Tom?
Yeah, so, it was just another good story in terms of, follow through on, a relationship and, the tennis thing, I would say, kind of started as a tennis buddy of Rick's down from Delaware, and it was a, there's been, I guess, Rick and him had had some conversations throughout the past probably, 6 to 12 months, and when we were down there with our one client, Sam, and his buddy, Clark, we took kind of the whole group out to dinner, and this was this guy Tom and his wife Margo, and we just kind of built more of on the personal side. Took them out to dinner, had a nice time. Both of them got to know us a little bit better. And I think it was just a nice entry point into eventually what Rick began to do is talk a little bit of business with Tom, and some follow through from Rick's findings from those conversations, kind of casual conversations over a beer led to really a push at the end of the year to say, hey guys, we know you have a lot of mutual funds from what you've told, what you've told Rick. If we can help you kind of manage any of your tax liability and help you take a quick glance at your portfolio, let us know, we're here to help. And he's like, oh, I'd love to take you guys up on the offer. Here you go. He sent us all his stuff. And, we were actually able to do a lot of really good stuff for him, towards the end of December, avoid a lot in capital gains taxes, trim some of his mutual fund positions. And, with the benefit of hindsight, it worked out well. We had good timing because we did this probably around December 10th, right before, really what started hitting the fan of the market. So, when it was all said and done, it was a really good success story. We saved them some money in taxes. We saved them some money in terms of, market performance. And really now it's the next step, which is, we've been telling him you know, we can be very competitive on the fee side, you know, and you know, these types of strategies are kind of part of the course of what we do for our clients.
So tell Rob what he thought once he showed him our fee schedule for it, because this guy, he's got anywhere, I guess, 5 to 8 million liquid, and tell him what his thought was after we sent him the, you know, our breakpoint schedule, you know.
We had said, you know, here's kind of what we charge, and his response was like, oh, I just, like, you know, I assumed, like, UBS and, like, what you guys do, that you'd be, like, well over 1%, and now you're saying, you know, all said and done, you're under 1%, I'm just, like, I'm shocked. Like, I just assumed that you guys were very expensive, and he has some investments on us we're familiar with. Fisher Investments, which is like, you know, they market the crap out of Fisher Investments, but, you know, they're like an ETF model, and they're somewhat, I would call, not robo, but, you know, I don't think there's a true personal touch to Fisher and his model, but I think he's being charged anywhere from 1 to 1.25% for his retirement accounts with Fisher, and he's like, I just assume that you guys are like 1.5%. Like, no, you know, when it's all said, number probably, you know, closer to half of that. You know, we're probably under 1%.
We're quoting about $3 and $5 million.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing that somebody actually. I figure that Fisher must get somebody to buy the buy his stuff, but I can't imagine anybody doing that. But.
Well, it does. It's crazy. His assets under management
are markets. I mean, but he markets the crap out of his. Out of his, you know, philosophy and his models, and, you know, he's all over CNBC and CNN, and it was his commercials, so I think a lot of people just, oh, you know, this sounds like a good model, and, you know, he doesn't believe in high-fee mutual funds or high-fee annuities, and that's kind of his whole pitch. It's, you know, we use ETFs, and we limit the downside, and people just kind of, through purely that's a marketing and a branding, that, you know, he tells a story that people seem to like, and so then he charges them. Like, I mean, it's you know, you're between 1.5%. You're probably close to 1.5% for a, really, it's an ETF model. I mean, that's not really that robust or complex and personal.
So at the end of the day, Rob, I guess what happened is that there, and as we did, you know, did more discovery, they had an advisor for like 20 years, and either he died or retired, we're not sure. And he even said that that's gonna, you know, the reason that they're even talking to us, but they said that, you know, they're leaving for New Zealand, and they're, he said the first quarter, he said, let's revisit this, you know, this is a, you know, we'll see. It's a great opportunity that came directly from the tennis event, and as Dave was saying, when we took the, that's directly from your suggestion. I don't want to, pat you on the back, but that's exactly, because remember, you know, I said, what are we going to do with Sea Colony? And you said, select a few people, you know, and energy, you know, make it a day and invite them. And we did that. We all went and we had an amazing time. And, but that's just one. Now, what I am not good at, and this is what, Dave is probably, you know, recognizes much better, is like the consistent follow-up or consistent drip on these prospective people. So this year, Dave's going to be the acquisition chair, whatever, you know, we say those, to put him in charge of that is, you know, developing that, you know, really tightening up our prospect list, but have it, you know, and Dave's good. You know, he's always full of ideas. I want to let him loose this year, so on that acquisition side, to follow up with a lot of the contacts that we're making, and that's something, again, that's, for whatever reason, it's not a big strength of mine.
Well, it's not a great strength of most human beings. You know, it's a hard thing to do is to be a good friend and regularly call people, you know.
Right.
I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't have a job, you know, with Supernova. I mean, everybody did what I'm supposed to do, but they just, you get busy, you get distracted, you get, I mean, you know, the whole right. world is ADD, the whole world's ADD right now, right? So,
it's
not just, you know, those that are naturally ADD, the whole world's become ADD. Right. I mean, and so, with that in mind, if you can be consistent with anything, you're going right. to be a hero. You know, just calling your friends on a regular basis. Just calling prospects that you see, what you're doing is you're establishing a friendship. that's the part that, you know, that kind of hit me when I was doing this marketing and seeing who is the most successful at doing this. It's the people that are good at making friends. It seems intuitive, but it isn't. You know, you think, well, business and friendships are completely different. No, it's completely interactive. And so when the people that create the mastermind groups that are the most successful tell me that those people become some of their very best friends, and they're the ones that are there for them when they get sick and when something happens. So you think you're doing it for business, and in reality, you're, just think about it, right? You create a mastermind group. Let's say, Dave, you create a mastermind group, and you're in the business for another 30 years. That mastermind group is going to be meeting for 30 years. Just think about what that means in terms of relationships and depth and how successful those people will be if you pick the right people and so forth. So, I mean, they would refer you to anybody immediately. So that's the point. And Rick, it's, you know, for you, it's not too late. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah. Hey, come on, man. There's no slowing down here. We're going to just keep going.
Right. But, I mean, you still got plenty of years to make a mastermind group work. But it takes, just like Supernova really takes about 24 months to get it into your system. It takes about that long for these mastermind groups to work, for centers of influence to work. Look at the centers of influence that you have now, okay? So FAM, I would consider a center of influence. It's taken you years to develop it, right?
Exactly.
So you just want to make sure that when Margaret looks at the schedule, she sees not just client schedules. So for you, Dave, the idea is that the scheduler should include those regular client contacts or regular prospect contacts, the regular center of influence meetings, the regular mastermind meetings, all of it. So if you do one thing this year, schedule everything repeating, okay? So hit the repeat button. Put them into the scheduler and make them happen every month.
Right, and that's probably, there's you know, we do this gap analysis. That's a gap. I mean, we do that sporadically based on, you know, whatever. And it's not been a consistent follow-up with those people. I mean, obviously, we're doing with the Supernova with our clients, and that stuff, that works well.
Make up a folder for each prospect. All right? Make it a different color. Make up a folder for each one, and then put them into the scheduler, just as if they had already become a client.
Rob, I will report out some good things that have happened since our last call. Rick and Dave and Margaret did put together their prospect list. So it's the first time since we talked about it in May that I've seen 8 names of warm prospects on a list in one place.
Yeah.
So that's the start of something. I think, again, starting to write down the dates of, like, when new accounts were opened and who referred them. So
right. There
are things that have been put into place. So just wanted to speak for them on that because it takes time and it just takes a little bit of focus and saying, you know, who are the people and getting it organized.
Right.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah, you know, we recommend you put them on a spreadsheet and then track them, you know, at different stages so you know what money's coming due by when and so forth. People in the insurance business, you know, I get to coach a lot of different kinds of teams. And the people in the insurance business are the best at tracking their prospects because so much of their business is new business.
Right.
It's very little, you know, they've got their renewals. But their new business compared to the renewals is kind of a joke. I mean, they've got to do a lot of new business all the time. And so their spreadsheets for, you know, at what stage the client, the prospect is where they are along this continuum is so impressive. they know exactly how much new business they're going to do every month just by the spreadsheet. So if you guys want to really get into it, now that you've got a list, track them. Where are you? You know, when will they close? So that's real. I mean, frankly, that's real selling. That's just fundamental selling. Yeah, we talk about marketing most of the time, but once you get a prospect in the system, then it's a selling skills thing. Where, you know, what do we need to do to convince this person that there's value here? And you know, how many times do we have to meet with them in order to convince them of that? So we were able to reduce the closure time from 5 meetings to 3 meetings for a life insurance guy. And the question, and you know, you think, wow, that's a huge improvement in productivity. And it was because he was selling service rather than just selling a product. So that's the thing for you guys. It wouldn't be any different.
Yeah.
You think if I can't close in 3 meetings, I should be shot, right? Right.
You don't even go that far. Honestly, though, I mean, that's just one of my things that, you know, if it's like one or two back away, they're not interested. Speaking of which, our buddy John Hogan, who we, you know, sort of is off and on, ever since he had that, cancer scare last year, he's really been off the radar. I mean, we've tried to set up some calls. Margaret's already reached out to set up calls for the new year. And he's like non-responsive. And we're saying, you know, this guy's not a client. I mean, he's not even a good client. And so we're almost like, so Dave last year, he's good at this stuff. He said, yesterday was John's 60th birthday. And, you know, just to reach out to him. And so I did. I just sent like a personal email to him, and I just said, happy birthday, John, big 60, welcome to the club. And then I told him, I said, I jumped out of an airplane for my 60th, what are you doing? and he wasn't responding all day, so Dave and I were saying, you know, Hogan's just like, you know, off the, you know, we're taking him off. Because even in our plan, if you look at that, we didn't even put Hogan as a top prospect, you know, to gather the rest of his money. Because it's like, you know, how many times are you going to keep going back to the well? But, so he did respond last night, and he said, thanks for the birthday wishes, just hanging around Arizona, and he just says, we'll talk soon. So at least he's alive, and at least he's, you know, who the hell knows?
This is the guy, Rob, we had talked about him before, he's the guy that got diagnosed with prostate cancer, remember, so we were talking
right,
about him, and
right.
He had all this stuff set up, and we had presented him all these things, and said, oh, it looks great, you know, let's have that follow-up conversation, and kind of called to say, like, hey, I'm putting the brakes on all this, you know, here, because I got some bad news, health-wise, and that was probably back in, I feel like, May, Rick? Was it May?
May?
Summer?
Second. Emily has the notes right here.
Yeah.
You guys were impressed with that.
I think it was May when we
it was May, and then he had the question. We're July when we had the meeting scheduled for, and then, you know, everything went through. So I don't know where his head is at, but I think, you know, this is one of those things where, it, I guess, more on, like you said earlier on, you know, more on a personal basis, that we know that we care about him on a personal level. That's more important, because I don't know where he's at after that cancer shit.
Yeah.
You know, we really haven't had a good discussion with it. I just don't know where his head's at, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, put your energy where it can be.
Right. Well, that's why. We might put him down a notch, right? You know, we can't count on that because he's never, you know, hasn't given us enough
right.
signals to say, let's keep going, you know, I'm interested, I want to do more. So we dropped him. I mean, we're going to still contact him, do all that, but, you know. To put him on our, you know, top of our list is, you can put down. We have other stuff that's going on now.
So what are the plans for the new year? What are you doing marketing-wise?
Okay, so the big thing was, marketing-wise, we're going to repeat the successes of last year. So we've got to, I mean, so we actually did a couple of trips up to Boston with, homology and stuff like that. We're going to continue to do that. And we have other people, and during that, we do tennis up in Boston. But then we already have planned the silly cricket again, and we're going to piggyback that with the Chief Colony, the same thing we did last year.
Yep.
Because that was a home run. The word is out, and we can expand it. We don't want to expand it too much, though, because we don't want to lose the intimacy of that group. We could probably go to 16. We're going to get more guys, supposedly, from New England that want to come down. And then we're going to piggyback the Sea Colony and do the same thing with the dinner and, the personal, watching the tennis down there and all that good stuff. Because that was a home run. We're going to repeat it. Then again, we're going to go right back up to Boston and sponsor their events when they do the at Longwood. We're going to do that again.
Yep.
We do this holiday party every year, which we just did in December again, which is, again, it's become a tradition. And the other thing we did, we have a lot of clients. We did some dinners last year with a group of doctors, and we found that wine tasting is like the wine. There's a lot of clients that have, really interested in wine. And I've got another client who has a connection with this wine dealer. And supposedly he had like this humongous $5 million wine cellar that we might try to do something with them to do a wine event. Because Dave even said it, we were talking to these, as we're doing these calls this week, what's the been reaction, Dave? Like, we talked to the tunes and everything else like that. What are they saying? And that's been repeated all throughout the week.
Yeah, and I guess what we need to figure out, Rob, is what's the best way to capitalize? I mean, this is probably what a lot of people maybe it's the million-dollar question, but how do you capitalize on the relationships and the trust and Rick in his involvement in the community and obviously his 30 plus years in business? How do you capitalize and how do you truly get a lot of these clients we've talked in the past few days? It's we've kind of given them an update and around, performance, but more or less what's going on with the family and, what's going on in the new year. And, it was really the same response. And it's like, we trust you guys implicitly and, we know you have our best interest and, it was just, very positive.
But I find that's priceless to me. When you get any kind of response, they say, we just trust, you're doing the right thing. We trust you guys. And it's funny.
And then how do you ultimately, and this is kind of a lot of the ideas, I think this is Emily's idea, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not taking credit for it, it wasn't my idea, but, we have this group of doctors that are all kind of in the women's health, OBGYN doctors, that we did an event for. We did a dinner last year when they rolled all their old retirement plans over to us, and we did a little dinner with the doctors and their spouses, and it went really well. We had a great time, and, all these doctors are close, and they're, they're known in the community as well. And the question is really, how do you capitalize on all of this? And maybe it is some kind of, this is the wine tasting came out of this because a few of those couples are really into wine and they go out to Napa. And I was like, okay, maybe we do an appreciation thing, but also, could because all of these clients that they absolutely love working with us and, they have the nicest things to say, that they maybe bring some friends and we talk to them about, we're growing our business and we're looking for more people like yourselves and, to try to make an event like this more of like a marketing and a prospecting, but also kind of, taking out those kind of hand-picked clients that we know are huge advocates of the business that are would be willing to stand up and say something around which we've seen them do in the past, or some kind of joint thing, with this women's health group to do some kind of, women's, physical health, but also financial health and do like maybe some kind of, marketing or some kind of event in the Newtown area. Just kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit on how do we capitalize on this specific group and how we've kind of developed these relationships.
Well, I mean, you've got some great opportunities clearly here. You've got the right people. So one of the things that when you kind of get stuck on things, what you're doing is the exact right thing. You're asking for advice, right? You're asking me for advice, which is brilliant. But you also want to ask them for their advice. Okay? Don't ever, just think about it, right? You're you, you're your age, you're in your world, and they're in their world. Who knows what they want more than what, than them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what is missing and what they enjoy and what they don't have time enough to do that they'd like to do. So most of it isn't economic. Most of it is time and planning. They don't have the time to do the planning to have the fun, right? So if somebody else does it for them, even if they spend the money, they don't care about the money. They care about access and organization. So what Rick and you have done with the tennis is exactly what you want to do with the wine. So maybe there's, so ask them, you know, what would be fun, what would be a fun evening for you guys? What do you want? You know, if we included wine, would you, you know, would you like us, you know, to make arrangements to have a vintner in it, to explain wines to, you know, new wine that they're showing that week? And of course, that's fun. We go to wine dinners all the time, right? They're fun. And these people like it, so that's the, you know, that's what you want to lean on. That's great. If they've been to a particular vineyard, you might call the vineyard that they like and ask them if they're ever in the Philadelphia area. And that would they be interested in putting on a wine dinner, you know, or participating in it, or, you know, what do they do to market themselves on the East Coast? And so then they come and you know, bring their wines, and these people know the wines, and they go, this is great. You guys did this? You know, we love them. We love the wine, but we never, you know, we talked about, you know, going back out there or having them come here or whatever. So it just makes it, it's very fun. So you connect something that they personally like and they travel together. So that's all fun for them and good for you too.
Yeah. So, good. Yeah. One other piece, Rob, I just wanted to run, you know, with the tennis event. And I think you recommended it, but that we learned it last year. One of the things that it just developed, we didn't really have an agenda for the dinner, but I ended up getting that, you know, and talking, speaking, how everyone's reading, you know, whatever. But I think this year we want to have, and I think you mentioned it definitely, is having someone else talk about us, what we do, how, you know, all that kind of stuff. So give, you know, the testimonial, whether it's from Sam, whether it's from Emily, Ted, or Rob, you know, I think the invitation is going to be open to you this year.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Well, you know, I mean, just getting up and giving a toast, a thank you to the host, you know, is a nice thing. You know,
right. Just
thank you, Rick, for putting this together, and Dave, and you know, we really appreciate it, and so, you know, I don't know how you encourage that, you know, but that would be a great thing for somebody like Sam to do.
Yeah.
Emily can do it, but it looks a little bit...
For Ted and Emily, it's a little bit... I think it would mean a lot more coming from, you know, one of the client participants than coming from, you know, Ted or Emily, personally.
Right. Right, so it's, you know, that's got to be kind of spontaneous. I'm not sure how you tell, you know, ask somebody to thank you. That's a little self-serving. So I'm not quite, think about that. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, you could also say, you know, Sam, I think everybody would appreciate it if you would get up and just say a few words, because everybody knows you and you're the guy that sort of put all this together. And you know, whatever he would say would be good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that was the one that I think that we're going to work on that this year, because that was the one thing we could do, but I think, you know, and I have to say, Rob, I mean, just like, that was an idea last year, but I think really by working with you and holding us accountable for that, it came off. We did it. It worked. We used the suggestion of how we entertain some, we handpicked some people at Sea Colony to leverage that opportunity. Now, yeah. If we just get this one client, Tom, you know, $5 million, $8 million, whatever it's going to be, to start.
Oh, yeah. It's a good deal.
I think you know, again, it's very tough because, you know, again, we're in a world, like you had mentioned, Rob, of immediate gratification, and it's tough. I mean, we had the event, it went great, everyone had a great time, and it's like, oh, now we want business out of it. But when you really take a step back, you realize,
yeah. You
do it again, you have it for the second year, you invite the same people back, and let's just say a lot of those people, or a good portion of them, didn't bring you any kind of business, and you invite them back the second time. If I'm that person, I'm thinking, wow, you know, I get it the first time they invited me. I understand that, you know, there's a business proponent and, there's a business side of it. And I didn't give them any money. They're not managing my money. But they're inviting me back again for a second year. You know, I think that speaks volumes to the character of, you know, the relationship building and the friendship and not being super pushy. But, you know, that after that second time, I think people will look at it differently in terms of saying, you know, these guys are great guys, you know. I didn't give them any business. They invited me back again for this great event. So I think that will speak volumes.
Another piece.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, another piece that really hit home last week, and it comes right back, and this is with Sam. I mean, I think our relationship with Sam has gotten so much deeper because of what we're, you know, with him going through this stuff with his company. And if you notice, this is getting pretty hot, Rob.
you know, it's of all my positions, thank you very much.
You know, seriously, I mean, during the downturn, I mean, the fourth quarter, where everything else is getting trashed, that's actually, you know, held the shoulders up. And
I don't even think it got in the teens. I mean, it was...
No.
Now it's 25. So, you know, we were looking forward to 2019, and guess what? It's 2019, right? So
yeah.
there must be some good things coming.
Yeah. But anyway, so what happened? So it's how we're treating, and Sam is a, you know, we consider him now a good client because he works with us. We give him service. But last week, he was actually the day after Christmas he called, and because, you know, a lot of times we'd be off, but we were hanging around here because of the market. He called and he said, "Rex." He said, because we have his mortgage on his home up in Boston, and he was looking to either renovate, but he goes, "You know what? He's looking to buy a new home." So all of a sudden, it was Thursday, and he said, "I'm looking, and I think I found a builder. We're going to build a new home next year. Can I get a pre-approval letter, you know, from the mortgage company?" And this is the day after Christmas. He goes, "And by the way, I'm leaving for Turks and Caicos on Friday night. Can I get it before then?" And it's like, "All right, let's see what you do." So literally, that we jumped on. We called our mortgage people, and they've improved their everything across the board. So we trust them now. So anyway, long story short, we got it, and we set up a call literally then for Thursday with Sam, and he got his pre-approval letter before he left for Turks and Caicos. So we're thinking of your piece, though, is the rapid response. And this is what, you know, Margaret's always good at, and anytime we get something, that is, but I think there's an example of that. It's, we can, you know, we were there. We came through and delivered. And
it's a great story. Emily, that is a great story. You don't even have to use their names, but it's a great story of service. And, you know, maybe you do use their names, but I mean, I don't know, but somehow in a newsletter or something, you get that out and say, you know, look, guys, this is what we're talking about here. Rapid response to problems, opportunities. It's a great story. It's like medical evacuating a guy from Europe or something. There's very few chances we have to demonstrate the reason you do business with us. And here's one, you know. And it's a beauty. It's a beauty.
You know what? I was even unsure because I didn't think we'd be able to even get a, you know, response from our mortgage people. And boom, they were back to me. We had the call set up for the next morning with Sam. Boom, done. And it's like, wow. So guess where he's coming? You know, you think he's shopping for a mortgage when his actual mortgage comes through for his new home? So just another part of what we're doing for Sam.
Well, you know, one of the things to do with him is to do, you remember the VIPSA process? When you ask three questions. What are the three things that you valued the most from your experience with us this year, Sam?
Wow. Yeah.
And he says, and just sit there and listen, because you don't know what it's going to be. You know, you think you do. You think it. But him articulating three things that you've done for him and why he's doing business, wouldn't you really like to hear those three things?
Yeah.
I would. And then you say, Sam, you know, is there anything that we can do? Can you think of a couple of things that we could do to make ourselves better or to help you more? That's gold. Because if there is something that you can do to improve your relationship, you want to hear it. And then you say, Sam, what I'd like to do, if you have a few minutes, yes, okay, good. What I'd like to do with your permission is to do a little brainstorming. You know, not everybody needs full service, right?
Right.
But as you've articulated, you know, we think we're really, as you said, we're doing something special. It's hard to get the word out. And so if you wouldn't mind, let's do a little brainstorming as to who would value the experience that you've had. People like yourself. And then you go into the three concentric circles, which is, let's just brainstorm about the people that are closest to you first. And then, you know, best friends, family, and then, you know, other people that you work with and maybe people you play sports, tennis with, and you're good friends, but they're not quite as good as the most intimate friends. And then, you know, the last circle would be those game changers, you know, people that you know that if we got them as clients, they'd be really, really special. And then you go back and so let's start with your family. Let's make sure we eliminate anybody that you just don't think would be a good fit. But make sure we identify somebody that would really value us and need us. So you go through that list. And he'll come up with a couple. And then the next circle, okay, people that you play tennis with and others, yep, such and such and such and such and such and such. He can come up with 10 names for you, I'm telling you. And then, you know, the final circle is the people that are the game changers, and he could come up with those too. And then you circle back and say, okay, this is a fabulous group of people. I know you care about them all. Let's go back and identify who do you think would need us the most, the one that would have the greatest urgency. And then you profile that person, him, at that time, as deep as a profile as you can get, because that's a great time to do that. And then again, you remember you ask for his advice. You ask for his advice, and you simply say, you know, how would you suggest that we meet? Not how would you suggest I get his phone number. How would you suggest that we meet? Well, he's in Boston and you're here, and so let's do a conference call. When are you going to see him? Well, I'm going to see. I see him every week, so I'll see him. Would you be comfortable setting something like that up? Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, today is Wednesday. You'll see him between now and next Wednesday, right? Okay. So why don't we set up something for next day, like next Friday? Would that work for you? Yeah, that'd be good. Next Friday about the same time? Okay, good. Let's say about 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock on Friday. Good. All right, so we'll set it up. If I don't hear from you by, say, Wednesday of next week, I'll just circle back with you with email or phone call. Is that good? Good. Okay, so now you've done the whole thing. You've gotten 6 to 10 names. You've gotten a good possible introduction. He knows what you're doing. He's on board because he loves you. Okay? And you've maintained complete control of the situation. You've never let it out of your control. Because how many times do they say, oh, yeah, I'll have him call you, or I'll give him your number, or whatever, and it never happens, okay? So this way you maintain control, and you make it happen. So when we're talking about marketing, and what do we do, and how do we, and here we got a guy that loves you, you've just done cartwheels for him, and he wants to help you. And what are we doing with it? Nothing. You know? So yeah. let's take some of these centers of influence and really get down to business. And it's nothing that, I mean, Sam clearly sees the value in what you're doing. He really would want to help you. But he doesn't know how to do this. You got to teach him. Now, remember, if you do it once, you probably don't need to do it in that kind of detail ever again. Because now you've got, let's say you've got 6 names. You've got at least 6 to 9 months or maybe a year's worth of prospects to follow up on, right? Because once you get the one guy set up and you have the meeting, then I don't want to let this get cold. You know, let's go to the list again. Here it is. Go through the names. Now, those people, who do you think could have the greatest sense of urgency and need us the most? Well, it's my brother. Okay. Boom. Tell me about your brother. And just go right through the thing again. How would you suggest that we meet? And so he probably, out of the 6 to 10 that he would give you, you'll close half, at least. So you close 3 or 4. And that's pretty much, that's halfway to your goal of 10 a year or a big client.
Yeah.
And that's with one person. But then he becomes your bird dog. See, he's working all the time because he knows what you're doing and how you're doing it. So you've got to turn these guys into little salesmen for you.
Yeah.
You can't just have them be good friends and good, when they bite and they like you and you can tell they want to help you, you got to help them help you. Yeah. Let me help you. Right? Let me help you.
I love that.
That's the step you need to communicate.
That's what we
a lot of relationships where, they love you, they trust you, everything else, and it's like, well, we don't get like referred business by them, but that's kind of where we need to really start.
So we gotta show them how to do it.
Yeah.
You gotta teach them.
And on the opportunities list that you have, we already have identified, we know Sam is one of those people that would naturally do that. Amy O'Keefe and Joanne Gurney are the other two that you have on there as a referral source. So those are 3 people you've already identified to walk through that.
And I can probably need 20 more too. It's like that.
But that's why it's just focusing on that just as much as we're focusing on the servicing our existing clients. So, Rob, I know a couple other things. One of my resolutions for the new year is to read more. And I've already nailed one book, but the one I'm on now, and I think Dave actually brought this one up, and when I was looking at Phil Knight from Nike, it's basically his story.
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating. I'm in the first couple chapters, but I'm going to nail this one out in a couple, probably by the weekend. But it's a story of how he started, you know, when he was, you know, coming out of school, doesn't know what to do, but, and about some of the things that, you know, just like the same issues that we all face, you know, well, I don't know if I'm good enough, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, are they going to talk to me? And how he basically, though, he was doing some selling, he was actually working for Dean Witter as an intern for a while, selling mutual funds. And he said he sucked at it. but then when his passion was running, he was a track star at Oregon, not a star, he was on the team, and he was a very good coach, and blah, blah, blah. But he, for some reason, he was at the master's program at Stanford, and he wrote this thesis on sneakers. And I guess, and how in Japan, they were making them, you know, so there was some inexpensive, but you know, cheaper at the time. And his goal, he said, I want to be American distributor for this. He went, went over to Japan. He's scared to death going into this meeting, and he just asked, and they gave him a shot. And then they said when he was selling sneakers, I mean, he was telling a story, but he said he was passionate about it. He believed in it. It wasn't selling. And, like, he couldn't sell something that, you know, he didn't believe in. But this was not selling. It wasn't even work. And, anyway, it's a great story. And I think that'll be one I'd recommend to you. But I'd also like you to recommend a couple books for this year. That would be good to add to my list.
Well, our new book, of course, The Supernova.
Is it out?
Yeah, it comes out February 6th.
Well, that's going on the list.
Right, and then Supernova Team.
Maybe I can ask for a signed copy. I'll buy one for a signed copy.
Absolutely. I'll send you one.
All right, it'll be in my office, so I'll be posting right next to all my other tennis stuff here.
Right.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, I would read the... go back and get a copy of The Psychology of Persuasion. Cialdini, Robert Cialdini, PhD, is a famous book, but, you know, people don't read it, and they should. Mm-hmm. It's why people buy things, how people are influenced, you know, and so I use it in my selling. You, of course, you know, my Jim Lehrer's book, if you haven't read it or haven't read it in a while.
And that's the one that was
Power of
Belief. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and Larry Wilson. Larry's got a couple of different books that I keep reading, but let me just look back here.
I started and I can't stop.
Really?
I love capitalism.
Yeah.
I can't get enough.
Well, then that's good. I'll add that one too.
Younger Next Year is a great book for people that are retiring. It's a nice gift to send to them.
I read that a few years ago, and I was like, I love that stuff.
Right.
I love that.
Chris Crowley and Henry Law.
Yep.
And just put that, Dave, put that into your repertoire of, you know, when people have events, it's always a good thing to send them a book.
Yep.
You know,
correct? Yeah, I told you. Books, man. Right. Is that a people
working on it.
Yeah. That was my idea for one of my crazy business ideas.
I love it.
To kind of recommend, or yeah, whether it's on a personal level with certain clients, or you know, to have some kind of recommendation for some good books that are out there, and whether or not we send a copy or recommend getting a copy, something like that.
Yeah, and sometimes you know people are using Kindles all the time. You can just go ahead and send it through their Kindle. It's fun, you know. They really appreciate it.
Come on,
I'm not that crazy, guys. See, Rick, I'm not that crazy.
I love it.
All right, that's good.
Well, yeah, we'll read this book. It's really good. It's still a nice one. I recommend it, Bob. I'm only in the beginning, but it's going to be a good book.
And then of course, Get More Referrals Now by Bill Kay, which is what we said. You know, you guys should. If this was a year of the BIPSA process, right? The year of getting you to sit down and actually use that, I think it really transformed your practice.
Well, that's the next step. That's the next step, and continue with the stuff that worked last year, but the tennis things were gold. We're going to continue to make that and grow those things.
The reality is you have got great relationships, and those great relationships should generate more introductions. And you're not bad at asking. I mean, you're actually pretty decent at asking, but doing it as a process, with your people that love you, centers of influence, and just regular people that like you very much, is something that it's just, you've earned it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's like me, you know, and I don't do it enough either. I mean, we all could do it. We all could get it.
We all could do it better, so. Well, that's the goal for the year. So we're excited about 19. There's a lot of good stuff ahead. 18 was a good year. We're just beginning. Just beginning, Robin.
So, let's make 19 the year of the introduction. Okay?
Yep.
I like that.
There you go.
Because you don't have to go and do that much. You don't have to spend any more money, put any more effort in. You just have to ask the people that already love you.
Yeah. Well, and we're gonna have fun doing it, which is a good key. And actually, Dave is taking tennis lessons now, so he can make the cut for cricket club this year.
Trying, Rob. I'm trying.
I'm playing twice a week. I'm playing twice a week now, getting it safe for you guys. So
there you go. So did I have the date? If it's early June, Philly, you'll get an invite.
Beautiful.
I love
That's
it.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Take care,
guys. Thanks, Rob.
We're at 7 o'clock. I'll call you in a little bit.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye, guys.